Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. We can table this because we thought Tom Telesco was joining us at 10:30, but apparently he's on the line right now.
Who's his favorite superhero?
General Matt. We'll ask him. Tom, I apologize. Today is National Superhero Day. There was a heated debate in the most recent break. But while we have you on the line and we want to talk to you about your team, is there a Tom Telesco favorite superhero?
Oh, my gosh. I'm the exact wrong person to talk about with that. I have no idea. I've not read a comic book in my life.
Really? Like, you didn't grow up watching, like, Batman or Superman or anything ever?
You know what? I guess I'm just sports, football, basketball, baseball. That was really it. That's the way I was brought up.
Your superhero was Dan Fouts, right? Or LaDainian Tomlinson.
Probably Jim Kelly and those guys, Andre Reed.
Yeah, I feel you. Right, Thurman Thomas, who, by the way, gave me nightmares. I grew up a Dolphins fan, and I can still remember that game where the Bills had three runners rushing in a playoff game for over 100 yards. Still gives me nightmares to this day, okay? And I'm 42 That's years right. old.
That's right.
So, Tom, let me ask you this, and thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your draft and everything you guys were able to accomplish. But you know what's funny to me is, you know, all the stuff that happens before the draft. Not just from your perspective, the preparation, and I want to get into some of the nuances of how different this was for you guys too, but just all the smoke screens that are out there. It feels like there's a million different things being put out into the zeitgeist and the atmosphere, and it feels like 99% of it is untrue. How does all that materialize?
Boy, I don't know. I think there's just so much media nowadays, print, TV, internet, obviously. Everybody has to have something to talk about. So, yeah, I mean, and then the closer you get to the draft, I think certainly with this year, since there's no baseball, there's no NBA, there's no NHL going on, we're the only game in town to talk about the draft. So there's just a lot of stories or rumors out there. But from the seat that I'm in, you know, when I hear a rumor, I do have to process it in my brain and kind of think, hey, look, that may sound off the wall, but hey, if that happened, how would that affect us? And that's a lot of the work we do in the days leading up to the draft. The problem is the closer you get to the draft, the information is less and less accurate. It just seems like, you know, January, February, you can get some good information. But the closer you get, I mean, look, no GM is going to tell other people what they're planning on doing. Not a GM in the league is going to do that. So you do have to measure all the things that you read, make some educated guesses based on where those teams' depth charts are, what their style is. You know, our pro scouts do a lot of work trying to determine what teams are going to do. But you just have to be prepared. So there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Which was the rumor that was out there that made you laugh the most? Because I can tell you what mine was, but I'm curious to hear what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, there were just so many. I don't know even if I can remember a specific one. But even the ones that sound off the wall, you still have to go through the process because, you know, you just don't know how other buildings work. You don't know how they operate. All of our draft boards are different. Just like all the media that do draft boards, their draft boards are different than ours. So everybody values players a little bit differently. So even if you hear something that you may think a little bit off, you still have to be prepared that that may happen.
So my favorite one was, it involved you guys, that allegedly you and the Dolphins were in cahoots for not trading up because you knew that the teams ahead of you didn't need quarterbacks and that you guys would eventually get the quarterbacks that you wanted anyway. That was, to me, the wildest one I heard.
Oh, some collusion between myself and Chris Greer, huh?
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. I think, you know, so I was asked the other day why I thought there weren't more trades up in the first part of the first round, and did it have anything to do with the fact that everybody was drafting from home and it may be hard logistically to do it. I didn't see it like that. I really think, at least for us, we had a really strong group at the top of the draft, probably 10 or 11 deep, that we felt were top players, would be top five players. And I think a lot of teams had a similar group, so there just wasn't a need for somebody to come up into the top five and get a guy that they wanted because you could sit wherever you were, you know, 8, 9, 10, and still get a really premium player. And that's probably the reason why.
Tom Telesco, Chargers general manager, joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. When you were evaluating your quarterbacks, what was the thing that stood out to you the most about the guy you drafted and the guy that went before you?
Different styles, but both highly productive, obviously. And we're very lucky this year, for a year that we're picking in the top 10 that really have, and Joe Burrow as well, have, three really big-time quarterbacks. And with not only physical skills, but the makeup you look for in the position. And really all three guys had the type of makeup as far as the toughness, physical toughness, mental toughness, adversity. Justin with us, we just think the physical skills are undeniable. I mean, he's a big, big kid. When you see him, 6'6", 235, 240 pounds, but very athletic and fast and tough. And obviously big, big, strong arm. But we liked his makeup in terms of his quarterback intangibles. He's smart. He's accountable. He's very competitive. And he knows he has room for growth as well. So when he comes in this league, it's going to take some time and some work. But he has that work ethic and drive he needs at that position. He has some leadership ability. And really, I mean, honestly, all those three guys at the top, they're wired very similar as far as off the field, as far as the preparation and the leadership aspect. They're a really good group.
Tom, there may not be an answer to this right now, but what is the timeline for his maturation? Will he be allowed to compete right out of the gate?
Well, yeah, I think you let every player compete. Do we have a hard timeline? Not really. And it's even harder to tell because obviously right now we don't have an off-season program where we're on the grass practicing. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't have an answer for that. I know we're very happy that we have Tyrod Taylor and comfortable with him. So his teammates respect him. He respects his teammates. He knows our offense very well. So he's really far ahead of Justin in that regard. But once we get on the field, everybody will compete. But we'll see. Like I said, we don't have a hard time frame of when or where, but I told Justin, whenever your opportunity arises, you got to be ready to go. When that opportunity comes up, I don't really know yet.
Tom, what about Tyrod drew you guys to him?
Yeah, I tell you what, he's a player that we had watched for a long time. And when he was in Baltimore, the coordinator there was Jim Caldwell. And Jim Caldwell was the head coach for the Colts when I worked there. And I'm close with Jim. I have a huge amount of respect for him as a person and as a football evaluator. And I'd always remembered him saying how sharp, how smart, what a great leader Tyrod is, and then just his movement skills, his ability to move outside the pocket, very accurate, protects the football. He told me all this before Taylor went to Buffalo and showed that as a starter. So then when he went to Buffalo and played very well there, took them to the playoff and showed all those same skills that Jim had told me about a couple of years beforehand. So we were looking to have, we were very lucky to have Phillip Rivers. Phillip never missed a practice, never missed a game. But I didn't want to be in a position where if something happened to Phillip, if by chance he got hurt, that all of a sudden our offense couldn't function and couldn't move the football. So we really made a concerted effort last year to find the best quality backup we can. And, I wanted a backup that was a starter quality. And we got lucky just the way, the chairs fell last year that we're able to get Tyrod it. Get him, and the fact that he knows our offense, or knows our head coach very well from Buffalo, that helped too. But to get him in the fold, and I'm so glad he chose to come here last year, and we're happy with him moving forward.
Couple more questions here with Tom Telesco, the general manager of the LA Chargers, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. What was the attribute that, outside of size, I know you discussed that earlier, but what was the specific attribute from Herbert that you were like, wow, I didn't know that about him just watching him play on film?
I think the fact that he is really, really mentally tough. So, he could have a bad series, he could have a bad quarter, and was able to put that behind him, come back, and then still make plays. It just seemed like, if something happened, something bad happened earlier in the game, it just didn't affect him. And that's a great trait to have for quarterbacks, certainly defensive corners too, if you get beat from time to time. But I love that with him, it didn't matter what happened beforehand. We're going to the next series, and we're going to move the football. We're going to score points. So that really stood out to me, that the fact that he could move the team in different ways, both with his legs and with his arm, and just watching how his teammates react to him, how they rally around him, how much that coaching staff at Oregon loved Justin Herbert, and you know, saw him as he was their, you know, I would obviously a big leader for them. So, you know, all those things that can't necessarily always see on tape, but to see how he reacts to different situations was pretty cool to see.
Tom Telesco with us here, Chargers GM. When you look at the rest of your draft, Josh Kelly, the kid you drafted out of UCLA, local kid from here, what stood out most to you when you were looking at him?
Sure. Well, we saw a good amount of him at UCLA, obviously, but the last 2 years and in the Pac-12. And then we saw him in the Senior Bowl. I thought he looked excellent at the Senior Bowl as well. So he's just been a very steady, productive performer. And he has good size. He's strong, very strong in the lower body, and has great feel and vision and instincts running the ball inside. And, Anthony Lynn's been a running back coach in this league for a long time before he became a coordinator and then a head coach. No one knows the position better than he does. And he loved Josh Kelly. He loves his skills. He's a different style than Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler, and we like having that in our backfield where we can rotate different players in. And, we're very happy to get Josh. Very well coached, too. I mean, pass protection, which is sometimes an issue for running backs in college. He does that pretty well, and I know he's willing to do it. We're happy to add him.
And lastly here, obviously your division is always extremely tough. Look, you got the Super Bowl champs there now, right? Patrick Mahomes at times almost feels like a cheat code out there the way he plays. How do you feel your team stacks up against them at the moment?
You know, it's hard to tell because it really doesn't matter on paper, but, you know, we know what Kansas City is. And then look at what Mike Mayock and John Gruden are doing in Oakland, and then what Elway and Vic Fangio are doing in Denver. I mean, I'm biased, but I think it's the toughest division in the league. But that's not always a bad thing either, because I think that's going to prepare us with those division games. It can prepare us for the rest of our schedule. Kind of raises the bar of everybody in the division. But those teams are all good teams, and we know what Kansas City is. I mean, Kansas City is just highly, highly talented and one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the league, with Andy Reid. So, yeah, it's a challenge. But all we can do is look at it on paper right now, and paper really doesn't mean a whole lot. We need to get out. God, I can't wait to get on the field for some OTAs, hopefully at some point, and then get on the field for training camp to start working and developing, especially a lot of our younger players that are second- and third-year players, to see them develop and hopefully take that jump to be bigger contributors.
Tom Telesco, GM of your LA Chargers, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Tom, always a pleasure. Thanks for making time for us. Appreciate it.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. There he is, Tom Telesco, with us here.